Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. His imminent return is upon us. Three times yesterday, he said, I'm coming swiftly. Swiftly. He used that word three times yesterday. And it's upon us. So I thank God for that. He's coming at a time when people won't look for him, and this is it. Now, I'm excited about his return. In some ways, I am. In some ways, I want to work while this day. And I want to do all that I can to make the difference that we can make as the body of Christ. Before it's nighttime, it's time to go home. So, I try to make every day count and look for the golden opportunities that the Lord faithfully sends us. So the more people that get on board doing that, is the better off we all are. Every time one person does the will of God in his or her life, it helps the whole body, because we are a body. As an individual, we should be fruitful and multiply. And it's easy. If you're fruitful, you can multiply very easily if you remain fruitful. So as a body, we can do the same thing. And one time the Lord gave me this Sunday school lesson called operatives. And operatives, that's a military term. People that's all, they operate as one unit, but there are many people reaching the same goal in their particular ways of doing it. So I was telling a friend of mine, Ray, we had lunch today, and, we was talking about some pastors in Atlanta, Well, every church that's doing the will of God, they're doing what God gave them to do. They're operatives together. Their operations work together, even though they may not be affiliated with one another. But as they yield to the Lord, obeying him, their ministry is automatically operate together, even in one accord. As long as you're doing what the Holy Spirit has given you to do particularly, and you're faithful with what God gave you to do, then you automatically, simultaneously, are working together with others you don't even know or have a clue about. And I can't count the times that the Lord would give me a revelation, and then others would say the same thing. Even in our Sunday school class at Victory Christian Fellowship, when we have Sunday school, whoever's preaching will always say something that was said in Sunday school. And you can ask any of my children, they know, and anybody that continue to go to the Sunday school class, they can tell you it happens every time. I thank God for the unity of the Holy Spirit. We're operatives. Now, I love people, and I want to see everybody doing the will of God. When I watch TV, for instance, and I see actors doing things that's ungodly, or I get sad for them because they're supposed to be using their talents and gifts for the kingdom of God. They're not supposed to use them for the enemy. And the Lord loves people, not just his own people, but people that are in states of rebellion or deception or still operating according to the world. And, when I learned to pray, I would pray for people, I remember as a kid, I used to hate that Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles was blind, and I wanted God to heal their eyes. But I didn't know God as a healer. I just wish he would heal their eyes, God loves people, and that's the heart of a child does too. So, I remember those days, but I didn't know the Lord yet. So if I had known him, I would have been asking the Lord to heal their eyes, but I wanted them to see. So the good thing is, if you get saved, even if you live this life blind, you will see in the next life. That's the good thing. But the opposite is also true. If you were born blind, and I got this from Mary Kay Baxter, this is just an aside. So while I mentioned that, see, the opposite is also true. If you're blind and you don't go to heaven, you go to hell. you'll be blind in hell. Or if you're missing a limb on earth and you die and go to hell, you'll be missing a limb in hell. I didn't know that, but even though I went to hell, I didn't know that, because she went, the Lord took her deeper into it. So it's important, you know, if only Christian people, you know, you may have lived your life in the world all this time, and you may have a terrible situation, you may have lost limbs, but the moment you get saved, remember something, don't forget it. As Jesus is, so are you in this world. From the time you get saved, you can say, Lord, I want my arm back. And God can regrow limbs. Now, if you die in a car wreck and you had missing limbs, but you believe the Lord, you became a Christian, you're going to get new limbs. And then when people go to heaven, they look like they did when they were 30. But in hell, the opposite is true. You know, however you die, that's how you look. Whatever you had on, whatever you were wearing, that's what you'll be wearing forever. But in heaven, you get new clothes. So when people go to hell, they don't get a do-over. It's amazing how everything works. So the enemy, if you go to hell, you belong to hell. It's a problem. And I understand these rudiments and this knowledge about what God has given me to understand. I understand it, and I want every soul to be warned to the Lord. But the problem is, people that exclude themselves, they do it on purpose. But those that seek the Lord, you have to break through and receive insights of the Lord. And enter into new glories. You know, we grow from glory to glory, or we're introduced to more knowledge from glory to glory. And when you go into a new glory, now I need to explain that, because if God give you revelation knowledge and you receive it and act on it, you're going to immediately start learning things. You're going to see what you didn't see before, because when you walk in the love of God, you're walking in light, according to John chapter 1 and 2. You're walking in light. But he that walk in darkness, they don't know what they'll stumble over. But see, the darkness he's talking about, if you don't walk in love with your brother, then the light that you would be walking in, you're not walking in, because the opposite is also true. You're walking in darkness if you're not in love with your brother. And if you don't love people that you can see, how can you love God that you can't see? And if you're not operating in the love of God, then you're going to stumble over something in the darkness. Even though this darkness is not literal, it works the same way as literal darkness. So you're going to stumble, you're going to have setbacks because of technicalities that you can't see. But when you walk in the love of God, you start beginning to see, oh, that's why God said this. Oh, that's why God said turn the other cheek. You're going to see the benefit of every scripture Jesus expressed to us. Now, verse 18, this is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we are all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Lord can help you understand volumes of life, volumes, by a visual. But when it takes words, when people tell you the things of God, it takes longer to get. So when people live the life of God, they have a visual, and we're changed into that same image from glory to glory. Now, when Christ is formed in you, that's how we become born of God. Hearing the word, living by it. Hearing the word, living by it. Seeing the ways of God in operation and absorbing it and living by it. Then the image that we see, it changes us into the same image from glory to glory. So you're going to start understanding things on a much greater level. But remember, the opposite is true. If you harden your heart against the good things of God, like Creflo Dollar said, then you won't learn what you're capable of learning. The only way to be capable of learning is to be yielded to the Lord. Now, everything in the kingdom of God works on the principles of faithfulness. So you have to be faithful. If you're faithful in doing the things of God, then it's easy for God to bless you. It's easy for you to understand. In the other broadcast the other day, the Lord had me saying that love, when you walk in love, that was bonuses, many bonuses, that was the name of it. But you can see things you normally can't see. And you can experience things you normally couldn't experience. Because you're operating according to the living love of God. From glory to glory, we operate. And that's just the way it is. Now, the people that don't enter into another glory, they stay the same. And they see life as they always have. And the more love we walk in, the more we're going to see and experience. Now, when things are going good, the enemy don't like it. You have to understand that. He wants us to suffer setbacks of all types. So when we suffer setbacks, that's what he likes. He wants to destroy our progress, keep us from learning more. But when we handle the things of God, when we look upon the things of God and learn from it and learn His principles, then our lives get stronger. Now watch what John said. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now that's who He's talking about. "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." He said, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, walking in love causes the blood of Jesus to do its job and cleanse us from all sin. If we say, see, we're operating in faith, we're in agreement. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's a problem. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, verse 9, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So when faith looks to God, faith is always focused on what does God desire. Faith looks to God. And when the Lord told me that faith looks to God, you know, that's a focus. The focus of faith is God and His will and His word in life. And then he told me three statements. Faith looks to God, pride looks within, and fear looks to man. See, pride looks within, not to the Holy Spirit. It looks at your own strength. That's the focus of pride. It's limited, and it walks in darkness. So it's people who walk in darkness stumble over things. Now this is 1 John chapter 2. He said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness." So Jesus Christ, the righteous, is our advocate. Never forget that. And He is the propitiation for our sins. and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But watch this. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Now watch verse 8. Never forget verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you. I write unto you which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. We're designed to always walk in that new light, but because the darkness is always in the past, or should be. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even unto now. So this is what I was getting to. When people decide to hate their brother, they are not in the light anymore, and they are walking in darkness even till now. See, the opposite, verse 9 proves that the opposite is true. I'm going to read it again. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even to now. Verse 10 backs it up. Says, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Loving your brother does more than just loving your brother. It enables you to see. It protects you. It keeps you from stumbling. Because if you're in the light and operating according to it, then you're safe. It keeps you in the realm of safety. Now watch this. Faithfulness. Obedience is timely faithfulness. Don't forget that. Obedience to God is faithfulness on time. Or you can say it this way. Obedience to God is prompt faithfulness. If God tell you to do something, you immediately do it. That's obedience. All right. Disobedience is slothful faithfulness. Slow to respond to be faithful. Or unfaithfulness. That's disobedience. If God tell you to do something, you wonder about it, ponder about it, and you're not prompt. That's a form of disobedience. And then, or you just don't do it altogether. So, the Lord taught me this when he told me to go on, start the radio broadcast. He gave me a dream that I was at a cleaner's and I was going to hang a garment on an empty hook that was about to pass by. So, when that hook was coming, I was ready to hang my garment on it. But when it got in front of me, I reached to hang it up there and then I woke up. And I said, Lord, what was that about? He said, obedience must match time or it'll turn into disobedience. So one, that's why I say real obedience is prompt faithfulness. You're quick to be faithful. Now, if you live faithfully, you'll be like my pastor said, when they want to move a ship from dry dock to the ocean, they get it moving. It don't matter if it's going straight or crooked. Once it's moving, it's easy to get it to go where you want. But if it's doing nothing, it's just dead weight. So he says, so if you want to be faithful and do something for the Lord, do something. And then the Lord can, you won't be dead weight anymore. You'll be doing something. You'll be faith, and God will move in your life and corral you to where you need to be. So I'm going to read verse 10 again. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. There's no way in the world he can stumble if you stay in the love of God. The Lord taught me to kill temptation by loving the women and that was trying to tempt me. You can't be tempted by somebody if you love them with the agape love of Jesus. I didn't know that. But he gave me a visual. He gave me a vision that helped me understand that. Okay, verse 10. I'm going to read it again. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, you understand, it's supposed to be understood that loving your brother is loving everybody. Everybody, if you love your brother, you also love your sister, your mother, your friends and their sisters and brothers, and your uncle and your cousins and your nephews. If you love people, if you love men, if you love women, if you love people. For women, if you love your sister. For men, if you love your sister and your brother. If you love everybody. He that loves, instead of saying brother, I'm going to say, if you love people like God loves you, you're abiding in the light, and there is none occasional stumbling in you. Okay? Verse 11. Sometimes you have to spell things out because it's supposed to be understood that way. So if you love your brother, he that loves his brother abides in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now watch, verse 11. The opposite is true. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not where he's going, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. He's going to stumble over life technicalities. Just like a man that tries to run too fast in the dark. It could be sharp sticks sticking out of the ground. It could be a hole in the ground. Or you could run into a fence with razor wire. All kind of problems you can have if you run too fast in the dark and you can't see. Verse 12 says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, for His name's sake." He said, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning." Fathers are Christians that Christ has formed in them. They're older. They're at a more mature level of understanding. Now, a woman can be a father too. What I'm saying is, it's not talking about gender, parental people. It's talking about levels of maturity. So women can be mature. Or it could be written this way: "I write unto you fathers, and for women mothers." It's just a state of maturity. "I write unto you fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning." So knowing God, you interact with Him. You have a relationship with Him. You know Him. "I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." Young men are stronger, but they don't have the knowledge of a father. They're more mature than a child. If you deal with young men in their 30s, they don't act like men in their 50s. A 30-year-old, they do better than a teenager in most cases, but they do dumb stuff compared to somebody in their 50s or 60s. They don't know what to watch out for. They get in trouble, but they mean well. They just don't have the knowledge it's different. Okay, that's why he's dealing with people. Because people are at different stages of their life. Sometimes people like to say different level, but I'll put it this way. Some people reach greater glories than others. And so you may be a young person, but you spent time with the Lord. So you may be 15 years old, but in the spirit, you're just like a father. Or you could be a 20-year-old, and you could be like a young man. Or you could be a 30-year-old and you could be just gotten saved like a little child. So it just depends on how mature you decide to be. So I'm going to read it again. Verse 13, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome that wicked one." And then he tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now watch verse 16. It defines the world. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever." See, the world system has nothing to do with God. That's another business. And he expects us to stay in the love. One time the Lord put it this way. He said, there's no reason for sin. Sin shouldn't even exist. It shouldn't even exist. And there's no reason for it. We don't have an excuse to sin. We shouldn't even think about it. Shouldn't even be something we want. But people are tempted when they're drawn away of their own lust. And see, when you can kill the craving of sin. Why? How? By the love of God. You won't stumble in darkness if you stay in the love, living love of God. Now, when people are faithful, if you're faithful, everything you need, let's say it this way. If you're complete in Jesus and you go about doing good, then the Lord, why would the Lord allow, all right, he developed you to operate like Jesus, and he give you kingdom abilities. He give you covenant abilities. Covenant is agreement with God, and you keep acting on your faith. You keep putting good things in motion. You keep on being a blessing to people. You keep on showing people the way. The enemy will try to challenge you, see. Every time you do this, the enemy will try to challenge you because he knows what will happen if you continue. He will try to discourage you from doing good and being a blessing and being consistent in your love walk because it mounts up so fast. When I asked the Lord to teach me to love people, I learned so many things from him. But this is one thing I did. As I learned to love God, I learned to hate the world system. Not the people, but the system of it. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Now this is why. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. See, we're consistent in the things of God. Not for salvation. I'm not trying to work my way into heaven. I'm not talking about salvation by works or good deeds for salvation at all. All the enemy's religions that he set up is salvation by works. And the enemy loves honor. He loves pride. He wants to be praised. You know, Jesus said that be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Okay. I said, what is the leaven of the Pharisees and then the leaven of Herod? What's the difference? What is it, Lord? And he said, the Pharisees love praise while Herod loves power. Then he said this, and Satan loves both. So if you study why Satan became Satan, he was beautiful and he was wise and he desired praise and he desired power and he became Satan. So that's the world system. I like to simplify things. That's a darkness that you don't need or want or desire. The word says that envy and strife, every evil work is caused. Wherever there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. So if you want to get rid of confusion when you don't know what to trust and every evil work, get rid of envy and strife. Then he said, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. See this? For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So, when people have a love for the world, and the Lord put it this way, all who love the world system have one thing in common. I said, what is it, Lord? He said, they share an unconditional enmity with God. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it right now because I read it in yesterday's broadcast. And we're almost out of time, of course. But see, this proves it. They went out from us, but they understood. They were around the knowledge of God. Okay? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And see, people that love the world, they cannot be satisfied with the things of God. And people that love the Lord, they don't share the same enthusiasm for the things of the world. They don't want the world in their life at all. Then verse 20 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now let's look at verse 20. You have an unction from the Holy One, from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. So things that you're not skilled about doesn't matter. When you hear words that's not of your Father, you say, that's not God there. That's not His character, that's not His ways, that's not what I want in my life. Even when it came to the rules of men, in the holiness church, they have a lot of rules. They love rules. God rules that God didn't, you know, their rules are in the name of the Lord, and people preach them like parrots. But the rules are divisive, and it makes them look weird. I love holiness church. They're wonderful people. But that was a doctrine of sanctification, and they focus on what you can't do. And it operate the same way as the Jews trying to keep the law for salvation. You're not saved if you're not circumcised. Circumcision can't save a man. The blood of Jesus did that. Circumcision was just a tool to help you see. It was a tool of covenant. When you got Jesus, you got all that. You got everything you need. You're complete in Jesus. But when people start desiring that kind of pride, then they get off track. They step out of the love of God and back into darkness. You can't keep the law without love. Now, I'm